If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit cfp.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel, dealing with rain, perhaps a rumble of thunder overnight with a low around 44. Nearly a half inch of rainfall anticipated and a quarter of an inch additionally through tomorrow with scattered thunderstorms. High should reach the low 50s on Wednesday and then look forward to showers ending early Thursday morning. Partial clearing Thursday afternoon as the system moves east, high 49. Then another system brings a chance of rain Friday.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's rainy. It's Tuesday night. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Oh, my goodness. I had hoped we might have wrapped up with the Terry Schiavo stuff last night. But there's so much information out there. Frankly, I was suffering from a little information overload. And, I was just trying to get away from it. So I went online to some of those classic old video games, tried to play a game of Donkey Kong, and Mario had a feeding tube. Went over to Ms. Pac-Man, and the little ghosts were running around force-feeding Ms. Pac-Man. Oh, it's just, I can't get away from it. But there are some details that you should probably become aware of. There has been reference to the Guardian Ad Litem report by a man named Jay Wolfson, our FOB friend of Bob, Chris, was kind enough to find me a link, and I was able to read quite a bit out of his report. And anyone who wants to know more about this case would be well advised to browse that. But, well, it's hard to... Somewhere in this whole miserable affair, I smell a rat. There's something here that just isn't right. And like I said, you have to read the report by Jay Wolfson to really get a good snootful of it. And it wouldn't hurt you to go to the My Florida website and Jebby Bush's response to Mr. Wolfson's report. Now, if you think back over the weekend to the... the Palm Sunday Republican congressional unprecedented orgy of hand-wringing that went down. How many times did you hear the phrase, culture of life? Culture of life. We belong to a culture of life. You know, some rotten, brain-dead Republican blathering along a culture of life. I mean, I lost count by the time I had my shoes off for the extra toes. We all know I'm mathematically challenged. But every soundbite of President Obama baby saying, culture of life, you know, hearing that bloodthirsty monster say culture of life is like having the galloping food poisoning vomits and hearing someone say goulash. It just makes it worse. Honestly, if there was any justice on earth when some Republican like Tom DeLay says, culture of life, all the dead babies he voted to kill in Iraq would appear and pee on his shoes till he was up to his lower low-life lip in it. And then those little unborn unagain angels would pick him up and fly him away and drop him unceremoniously into hell before they flew their little unborn again butts back up into heaven. Would it surprise you, though, given the number of times that we've heard this phrase now, would it surprise you to find out that a website's already sprung up by the name of culture of life. Would it surprise you to know that the organization's address is on K Street in Washington, D.C.? You know, the political red light district of our nation's capital. The place where all of Tom DeLay's special friends do business. If you're paying attention, you're not surprised. If you're not paying attention, you're not even interested. Or you're a Republican just like Tom DeLay and think everything's just hunky-dory. That statement on My Florida, though. The thing's a couple of years old, and it drops the last piece into the puzzle. See, it explains everything. Because right there on that page appears the transcript of Jebby's philosophy. And at the heart of it is one phrase, culture of life. I told you why this is all going on. This is Jebby Bush's coming out party, so to speak. This is where the coronation begins for his run for the presidency in 2008. Who am I kidding? The monarchy. The Bush monarchy. In 2008. So they've got their slogan, and it's been out there for a couple of years, but now they're really ratcheting it up because they're going to beat the life out of it, flog it like a dying horse in the 2006 congressional elections, and then by 2008, it'll be on red, white, and blue signs all, Jebby Bush, culture of life. You know, these people are so despicable. And I don't have a lot of room in my heart for hate, but it's no stretch at all to say that I hate Tom DeLay. I mean, I really hate that sick little puke down to the core of my being. Because without going into detail, I've been in a situation similar to that of Michael Schiavo and the Schindlers. And it hurt, and it still hurts. And that filthy Tom DeLay mocks my pain and American families' pain that go through these circumstances. I've had a loved one butchered by a doctor. And other doctors agreed that my loved one was butchered. But the doctor who butchered my loved one worked for the state of Alabama. And in the state of Alabama, if you work for the state, you're immune from lawsuit. They can kill all they want, and nobody can do a damn thing about it. In other words, Alabama's a little Bush paradise. No doctor working for the state can ever be held accountable at all for anything. Well, at least not murder. Imagine if we'd had that kind of law in effect when Terry Schiavo was butchered. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. She'd be dead. Because, see, Terry Schiavo's trust fund covered a bunch of her care, and she got that trust fund by virtue of a judgment in a medical malpractice case, and it took care of her until it was gone. Then she went on Medicaid. That's where she is now, on Medicaid. And that Medicaid is due to be slashed on Tom DeLay's order in the next budget. These sick Republicans are playing games with time. They need Terry to live a little longer, but not much. They need her to live long enough to mine her for every last ounce of political gold from straw. And they need her to die before Jebby has to cut Florida's Medicaid. Because we can't have the next heir apparent to the Republican nomination cutting Medicaid out from somebody that they've been fighting to keep alive now, can we? But without a doubt, this is about Jebby. It's all about Jebby. It has nothing to do with Terry Schiavo. It's about Jebby and his slogan, his culture of life. Culture of life. How many people have died in Florida's death chamber? How many people died in Texas's death chamber because of the Bush brothers and their culture of life? Lord, they sicken me. But, you know, we've got to get the mouth breathers all good and stirred up. so that they won't be so, you know, put off when people start mentioning that, you know, Jebby's daughter's a junkie, that apparently he's not much of a parent. He's a Bush. He doesn't have to be, does he? He gets a pass for everything he does. This is all about Jebby. It's all about the culture of life. Jebby's the baby brother. He's the one they always said was smart.
He called me stupid, but I was president first, and I even got me a bright, shiny war that won't end. How do you reckon they think so smart now?
This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The clock has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's AutoMatch helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their fun local events, when Cupid.com helps you seek, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
How tough are you? West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Up to $5,000 in prize money and Tough Man jackets to be awarded, plus an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. No entry fee. Divisions for men and women. To sign up, you must be 18 or older, an area resident, no pro fights, and limited amateur experience. Just tough local guys and gals. If you think you're tough enough, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Tickets go on sale March 12th. Tough men, tough women, and ring girls, sign up now. Wimps need not apply.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. As we, as I said, go and find it online and read the Wolfson report of the Guardian ad litem. Jay Wolfson was the lawyer for Terri Schiavo and Terri Schiavo only. He owed no duty to Michael Schiavo, he owed no duty to the Schindlers. Time out. Big ol' sneeze, sorry. He owed a duty only to Terri Schiavo. And he pursued it vigorously. He generated a 40-page report. Go and read it. You'll learn a lot that you haven't been told in, God knows you haven't been told by a Republican. And, you know, the media's not exactly out there doing much of a job either. Now, what happened, just for the benefit of those who don't know, February the 25th, 1990, Terri Schiavo collapsed in her home. Emergency services were called. At that time, she weighed something on the order of 110 pounds. In 3 years' time, she had gone from 250 pounds to 110 pounds. She drank something on the order of 16 glasses of iced tea a day. She didn't eat. They were, she and Michael Shivo were visiting a fertility specialist, trying for Terry to get pregnant. The fact that she couldn't probably has something to do with the fact that she was 110 pounds, had lost all of her body fat, and probably couldn't ovulate. It's just, I mean, it's just the way the body works. So February 25th, 1990, she collapses. Now, she went into a coma at a facility owned by Humana. It was called Humana Northside Hospital. Now, you have to follow the birdie here, follow the bouncing ball, connect the dots. That facility would later be purchased, as were other Humana facilities, by a little organization called Healthcare Corporation of America, or HCA. And HCA is owned by a family of something called Frist. These Frist things, the leader of the Frist things is a thing called a Bill Frist, and the Bill Frist is the majority leader of the Senate. Now, Humana Northside transferred her when she came out of her coma state. She wound up at Bayfront Hospital. And, you know, never mind the fact that, you know, you got to understand these Tom DeLays and Bushes and Sensenbrenners and Frists, they will lie at will. And they have no compunction against it, and they have no interest in the truth. But at Bayfront Hospital, she received rigorous rehabilitation efforts. All of this is in the report of Jay Wolfson, not subject to dispute. Now, she went from, she went from the Humana facility to two others before her parents took her home. And within a couple of weeks, the Schindlers came back and said they were, this is the word in the report, overwhelmed by her needs. And they hustled her back into the hospital. And I'm not being gross or anything, but let's face it, you can change diapers on a baby. It's a lot different on an adult. Thousands of Americans do it every day without complaining about being overwhelmed. It's called love. Mr. and Mrs. Schindler called it overwhelmed. A little bit later, Michael Shivo was appointed Terry's guardian by the court. At that time, the court asked if anyone had any objections to his being appointed her guardian. Neither Mr. nor Mrs. Schindler, nor her brother, nor her sister said a word. The guardian ad litem's report acknowledges that Michael Shivo and Mrs. Schindler were virtually partners. That's the phrase it uses. Virtually partners in providing Terry with the care she needed. No dispute. They were getting along fine. A little further into the report, along about page 13, you'll find out that within a couple of years of Terry's tragedy, the Schindlers told Michael he needed to start dating again. They invited him to bring his date to the house so they could meet her. And Terry, meanwhile, after those couple of years had gone by, and the lawsuit had been resolved, Terry was sitting on $1 million. And Michael kept using it to care for his wife. Tick, tick, tick. Long-term care ticks are pretty expensive. Tick, tick, tick. $5,000 a month. Tick, tick, tick. $10,000 a month. Tick, 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 tick. $15,000 a month. Tick, 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 tick. But Michael stayed by her side, kept her in appropriate care, and the money tick, 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 and the Schindlers were overwhelmed. With what you know now, you can sort of connect the dots, can't you? You can see where this dispute came from. There she was, laying on all that money, and all the Schindlers had to do was get Michael to give her up. Because they know she's never going to be all right. The money would help. Because you got to understand, Terry was from Philadelphia. She and Michael moved to Florida. Her parents followed, with their entire family, followed Michael and Terry to Florida. Huh? Yeah, really. Read this report, because you see, like I said, the Republicans aren't going to tell you the truth. Expecting them to would be a little bit foolhardy, because that's why they're Republicans. The truth is not in them. They don't know how to tell it. If they were certain the sky was blue and you asked them, they would swear it was yellow. So you didn't hear that from DeLay or from any of the other good-for-nothing Republicans standing up to speak in favor of this bill of attainder, or this ex post facto bill. Of course you didn't. Follow the money. Follow the money. And it all begins to make a little more sense. And what? The anger of the Schindler family becomes a little more in focus and profound when you realize why. Certainly is what it appears to be from the Wolfson report. The report from the guy who had to speak only for Terry Schiavo. Yeah, it's worth a gander. Listen, if you want to get involved with the program, feel free to do so. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. You can email to bob@headonradio.com or WWNR@netphase.net. We make it all ever so easy. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Former Miss West Virginia Allison Williams is suing dozens of internet businesses that tried to sell pornographic videos they claimed showed her in sexual acts with a Virginia news crew. Williams filed her lawsuit in U.S. District Court Wheeling last week against 59 defendants in the U.S., Australia, the Netherlands, Belgium, Cayman Islands, Canada, and South Africa. The businesses allegedly took part in distributing the videos. Williams is seeking unspecified damages and injunctive relief. A Kanawha County judge wants the State Insurance Commission to explain why it has refused to name some of the people it consulted while putting together a study on third-party lawsuits for state lawmakers. Circuit Judge Paul Zacabe yesterday in Charleston gave the commission until Thursday to justify its decision that would black out names and email addresses from more than 600 pages of agency email and memos. Coal industry officials and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are fighting a legal battle against a federal judge's ruling that blocked the streamlined permitting of new mountaintop removal coal mines. Both parties filed briefs last Friday with the Richmond, Virginia-based 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. They're asking that U.S. District Judge Joseph R. Goodwin's ruling be overturned. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Chance of rain, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms late tonight, with a low near 43. For tomorrow, a chance of showers. Thunderstorms are possible again in the afternoon tomorrow. Tomorrow's high near 51. Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mainly before midnight, low 36. And for Thursday, a chance of showers early in the morning, then partly cloudy, with Thursday's high near 51. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
New York State prison guards have sued the state for $100 million. The federal lawsuit was filed on Friday, claiming that contractual benefits were abolished out of retaliation for public claims of poor working conditions. The New York State Correctional Officers and Police Benevolent Association hired a public relations firm in 2003 to bring to light the problems faced by some of the 23,000 union members. In April of that year, the state terminated benefits that had been in place for 20 years. The New York State Department of Correctional Services says the benefits were not canceled out of retaliation.
Georgetown University students on a hunger strike to win living wages for campus janitors are determined to win. They have the support of the AFL-CIO's Metro Washington Council and religious leaders in the Washington, D.C. area. Rachel Murray explains why 28 students are on the hunger strike as part of a three-year campaign to win living wages for janitors at Georgetown.
Since the administration wasn't addressing the urgency of workers who are living in poverty, that maybe they address the urgency of students starving themselves and not being able to go to class.
Murray says this is part of a national effort involving 100 campuses organized in part by United Students Against Sweatshops.
We really want to see support and put pressure on the university to actually do something because it's important that something happens now for the lives of these workers. We want the university to adopt a living wage policy that's going to adequately meet what the workers need.
The students say janitors at Georgetown are being paid as little as $8.50 per hour. They want to see the wage go to at least $14.93 an hour. They say the current wages being paid the janitors just aren't enough to survive in Washington, D.C.
Masaba Airlines is the most recent airline to experience turbulence over contract negotiations. 92% of the mechanics represented by the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association voted in favor of a strike last week. Union National Director O.V. Del Famine said in a press release that the overwhelming support for a strike reflects years of pent-up frustration over the company's refusal to negotiate in good faith. Del Famine goes on to say that the National Mediation Board has too easily accepted Masaba's stalling tactics. The airline is an affiliate of Northwest Airlink.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. U.S. workers could be hit in the wallet by a reverse brain drain. For years, highly skilled workers migrated to the U.S., but outsourcing of jobs from the U.S. now includes highly skilled labor. A National Science Board study found that the number of U.S. visas for immigrants who work in science and technology are down since 2001, with outsourcing now including knowledge workers. In the long run, the U.S. economy could see its ability to create new products and processes erode, and that will hurt the U.S. economy. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 26 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is Head On. Again, if you've got a bee in your bonnet, burr under your saddle, you know what to do about it. We can exercise it here. Exorcism's coming back. We'll do that at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-6209967. Let's do go back to the phones, or to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening, old friend.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, pretty good.
I'll say Gesundheit.
Well, thank you.
It could have been worse, well, you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. I do indeed. It was strange. I went on the air, and all of a sudden it felt like I was catching cold.
God bless you.
Well, thank you.
You know, I want to just make a few comments here. I told you last night what I would do with this lady.
Right.
And, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Sure.
But, you know, as usual, you have done a very good job with your reportage this evening and your timelines with this report that you've just summed up. What is it called, Bob?
It's the Wolfson Report of the Guardian ad litem.
Wolfson Report at the Guardian ad litem.
Well, he was the guardian ad litem, L-I-T-E-M,
uh-huh,
for Terri Schiavo by appointment of the court to investigate all of the competing claims.
I see.
In other words, he was Switzerland. He was
okay. He was neutral.
He was absolutely neutral, except for his loyalty and his fiduciary duty to Terri Schiavo and Terri Schiavo only.
Now, she has $1 million that is taking care of the care that she's receiving.
Well, yeah, at one point she did, Jim. Well,
if you spent $60,000 a year, say $5,000 a month,
mm-hmm,
that's $60,000 a year. Now, at 16 years, you'll have $40,000 left out of $1 million, because that's $960,000.
Right, and, I mean, you've had some government experience. You're familiar with the concept of the drawdown, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I mean, I'm sorry.
That's all right. So if she, and we know that she is existing on Medicaid now.
Correct.
She could not be getting that Medicaid without a drawdown in front of that.
Not at all.
I mean, is my line of reasoning okay?
Crystal clear. Totally right on target.
So the money's gone.
Effectively, yes. Probably been gone.
And frankly, if you look into the timeline and you figure out when this stuff started to break down, it looks like it starts to break down long about the time that the Schindlers realized that the money was drying up.
Well, you know,
and I hate saying that.
My husband has really been calumniated by a lot of people.
Oh, he has been run from pillar to post.
And right now on CNN, see the people that are out in front of his house, or the hospice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely incredible. But I understand this man was pretty assiduous in trying to see that his wife did get care, to the point that the people at the nursing facility where she was were almost going to get a court injunction to prevent him from coming on the premises because he was so irritating and demanding.
Yeah, in terms of wanting her rehabilitated, in terms of wanting them to work with her, yeah.
Well, you know, I guess in this man's mind, and I'm just playing the devil's advocate here, not really. I'm just playing, you know, looking at it, you know, from a standpoint of benevolent neutrality. In his mind's eye, hope against hope has become hope abandoned.
Well, I think you're right. And beyond that, it's worth noting that the Schindlers, you mentioned last night that there should be a bill of divorcement.
Exactly.
The Schindlers have petitioned for one of those.
Well, then, you know, I hope the judge will grant it and will give them back this responsibility, which they found so overwhelming.
But isn't that? But do you see how the hypocrisies rub up against each other, Jim? How are they going to do that and still protect the culture of life and the sanctity of marriage? I mean, it's a little tough, isn't it?
Now, exactly what do you mean, Bob?
Well, they want to compel this woman to have a divorce.
Okay.
Well, that's not family values, is it?
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it. In their eyes, canon law has been violated because this man has already had children by another woman to whom he's not married, right?
I don't know that it's been violated.
Well, basically, under canon law, if you, in fact, commit adultery.
Right.
And if you're looking at it from, say, the Vatican's point of view, I guess, or
right.
a strict religious point of view.
But a defense to that is the connivement or procurement of the other side.
Well, basically.
And they connived in it.
Well, but here's the thing. You're right. But that in itself dissolves the marriage, does it not?
Not de facto, I don't believe. I mean,
well,
I mean,
the church it does.
No, I mean, there have to be canonical findings.
Well, I believe in the eyes of the church that adultery does dissolve a Christian marriage. That's what I've always been taught all my life.
But there are defenses, as there are in law.
Yeah, I guess so.
And connivement or participation therein has a part to play. And when you read in this report about how they were saying, well, you know, Michael, dear, you've got to start dating again. You can't hold yourself out for her forever. She's not going to get well.
Well, if they knew that, well, I'm not going to.
You know, I'm not trying.
I'll stop right yeah. there.
No, I'm not trying to get all Nancy Grace, Jim, but there is something about this Schindler family that is disturbing.
Well, to me, there is something rotten in the state of Denmark, and I'll leave it at that, okay? Because
okay.
I don't want to have to say things I can't prove. But what I can prove is this. Now, I found out this afternoon that from a certain area of the country, which is pretty close to us, elected representatives have been receiving all types of emails, and they're trying to basically hold Democratic representatives and senators hostage with this thing.
No, I don't doubt it.
And in 2 years, or a year and a whenever, say when so-and-so runs against so-and-so, I'll guarantee you one thing, unless this particular individual, or whenever they run, they'll find some way to say, you killed Terry Schiavo.
Oh, yeah, and, well, I mean, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it until it's the mere mention of it. It's
going to be worse than 9/11.
It's going to be like an emesis trigger, Jim. Culture of life. You're going to hear it.
Oh, my God. You know, when I hear that phrase coming out of his lips, it's an absolute, it is absolute hypocrisy. And, you know, the culture of death is what that man stands for.
Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
And, you know, when I heard Tom Bokspray DeLay say that the Constitution is supposed to protect people's lives and keep killing one another, I thought to myself, then how can you explain to me the 100,000 plus dead in Iraq, not to mention the maimed and wounded on our own side, as Vince will never be the same, and the 1,500 plus dead?
Well, that, you know, that bloodthirsty moron DeLay, Jim, says that the Constitution protects all life. He didn't say all American life. He said all life. And yet he's on the record agreeing that the Constitution does not protect foreigners from being tortured by our people.
Bob, I'll tell you one thing. We are approaching a very serious constitutional crisis in this country. And there are forces at work in Washington today. And these people will do anything. They will take the Constitution, and if they want to or if they could, they would literally rip it up. And they would destroy it.
I have no doubt of the truth of what you say, Jim.
And this is what really worries me. I mean, this poor woman, I feel terribly sorry for her. And the people around her, I don't know what the situation is, and I would be speaking in ignorance. I only have compassion. However, I know that, you know, even in the Hippocratic Oath, when it says to enter and do none harm, I do believe sometimes to allow someone to continue to suffer is, in fact, doing them more harm than good.
I think you're right. And if you, again, if you look around, you'll find Dr. Wolfson's report, Wolfson. And at the beginning of that report, he posits four hypothetical case scenarios. Mm-hmm. And there is one of them that comes pretty darn close to how she is now.
Well, I understand she weighs 63 pounds.
Yeah. She's, you know.
And the file footage that you see on TV now was taken 2 years ago.
Right.
And, of course, Bill Frist, our dear friend from Tennessee, tried to attempt some type of diagnosis from a videotape.
I know.
And that is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, Dr. Wolfson notes, Jim, in one of his hypotheticals, that there is a circumstance under which Terri Schiavo would have a right to complain were she able to do so, that her rights were being violated under the constitutional guarantee against cruel and unusual punishment.
Well, that's exactly what it is. But you said that she was at one time weighed 250 pounds.
That is correct, somewhere around 1987.
And she was drinking 15 glasses of iced tea a day.
And she was down to 110.
And what was causing this?
I mean, she wanted to lose that weight.
Well, all the pictures I've seen her, before this thing happened to her, she really looks quite voluptuous and beautiful.
Welcome to media manipulation, Jim.
I see. And it does not show any obesity at all.
No.
No morbidity, nothing like that.
But she was. She was 250 pounds, and she visited a bariatric specialist, you know, a weight loss doctor. She engaged in, to go, you know, 250 minus 110, you know, what is it, 140 pounds that she lost?
And over what period of time?
About 2 years.
Well, I guess, I don't know what their weight loss schedules are, but I guess that's a lot.
But they blamed her collapse on an electrolytic imbalance, which is a frequent, handmaiden of bulimia and anorexia nervosa.
Or she was purging?
We don't know. There is some suggestion of that, though.
Good Lord. But you know what I hate to think about this whole thing, and I'm going to get off here because the fans are running quickly of your time, is what these people have done with it and the depths to which they will stoop to do anything to, number one, undermine the authority of the court system. And because the judge now who's in charge of this is a Clinton appointee, they're going to try and literally have an auto da fe with him, I'm sure.
Oh, I don't doubt it. They'll probably, you know, these clowns will probably move to impeach.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there have been efforts that have come through to one of our representatives, and I'm not going to say who. A man has sent emails to impeach this judge.
Well, they've threatened his life. They threatened the other judge's life. They have suggested that the lawyers representing Mr. Chavo be starved. You know, their Christian compassion is really quite on quite the short leash, Jim.
I would think so. And, you know, I'll tell you, being a federal judge is certainly not the most desired profession when you see what's happened recently to several of them.
No heavens.
And the second thing is how DeLay has tried to use this as a smokescreen and a red herring to detract any attention from what he's doing. And have you heard anything about Social Security?
No, nary a peep.
Now, today on CNN, Bush is running ads how the Democrats do not
have a plan.
Have you seen them?
Yes, I saw that the Democrats don't have a plan. Yeah, we do. Make all Americans pay into Social Security. That's a great plan.
You know, I think to myself, when I think of lies, is this the best they can do?
No, this is just the opening salvo, Jim. This is the shot across the bow.
And again, how they have really gotten the cart before the horse, and they're really trying to cross-dress different elements of the government, the executive, legislative, and judicial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some very dangerous precedents that are being set here.
It's a ship of fools, Jim. Truly it is.
Well, my friend, I wish I had a better topic of conversation to discuss with you.
Well, like I said, the entire internet seems to be all Terry Schiavo all the time. And it will be until this buzz goes down.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you, when this goes away, now Michael Jackson is barely able to walk. They think he's under some type of psychotropic medication. Or you're going to have this piece of trash in Florida who committed murder with this 9-year-old girl.
Yeah, cooey.
Or you're going to have all types of things that are designed to divert America's attention away from the real problems at hand. And, you know, honestly, the media has become such a circus with these things.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's just incredible. Each one tries to outdo the other to try, I guess it's, you know, I don't know if it's the networks, but even the cable. I mean, I don't think cable should be as interested in ratings as the networks, but because, I mean, you know, the cable people depend on people paying their bills, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the networks, they have to depend on the ratings more, correct?
Correct, and that drives who's willing to buy advertising.
But I'll guarantee you, I've never seen any people compete as much. I mean, this is like some of the stuff that used to happen, in the 1920s. You know, when they would have, like, the Fatty Arbuckle trial.
Yeah, which, oddly enough, was the trial of the century until O.J. came along.
Right. Or Amy Simple McPherson's disappearance. Remember the evangelist that disappeared?
Yes, indeed.
You know, it's just that type of hysteria and just craziness. And we need to be focusing our attentions on the real problems at hand and on the people whom we can save. The programs that we can save to prevent things from happening like this. That's the thing that worries me so much about it, is the lack of focus on the things we can do. There's probably nothing we can do for Ms. Schiavo, and I'm sorry for that.
Yes.
But there are people whom we can help by, you know, being attentive to our affairs and our government to start to do its work the way it should.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree. It makes perfect sense to me, Jim.
If they were to focus this much attention on getting spending resolutions passed instead of having to operate on continuing resolutions, it would be incredible how efficient the government could become.
Well, but they don't want that, Jim. They don't want that. They don't want that efficiency.
It's just nuts. And here's another thing. What is this going to do to a person's living will that's got a DNR on there? How is this going to affect that?
Frankly, this says that the government can create a bill of attainder or an ex post facto law for anybody with anything. Now, theoretically, if you've got all your ducks in a row in your paperwork, then...
But even with that, they can just mess you all up.
Well, of course. Look. Yes. I read some of the rulings today. We got to remember that the court rulings that the federal judge relied on had to do with... Oh, heavens to Betsy, Missouri woman, same situation.
Right.
I mean, there's a body of law on this.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, and that federal judge did the right thing, so necessarily they're going to the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, which is just slightly less conservative than the 4th Circuit in which we sit.
You know, Bob, with these people, I'm going to get off. You know, the expression in Latin is sed lex, dura lex.
Yes.
The law is the law, the law is hard.
Right.
But in this case, it's sed lex, dura lex. The law has become latex.
All stretchy and gross.
I just can't believe it.
It's astonishing. I mean, I have these little fantasies that run through my head as I'm driving down the road. And, you know, I want to build the time machine. I want to go back. I want to get Mr. Jefferson. I want to bring him here, and I want to say, look at this.
I'm sure they would all be appalled.
Oh, I have no doubt of it. You know, John Adams, you're the conservative. Have a look.
Really?
Yeah.
Exactly. But like I say...
And watch him and Jefferson jump back in the time machine like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and go back and go, forget it, call the king, see if he'll have us back.
I don't think he'd want us back, to tell you the truth. He'd say, you know, we got rid of you, you were too meddlesome, and just leave.
Right.
You know?
But, I mean, sure. it would turn the founders into the ransom of Red Chief.
Absolutely. You know, the government is just loaded there's a term for this, and it's called goat feathers. You ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
Basically, there are things that keep a man from tending to his business.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I call this Operation Goat Feathers on the part of Tom DeLay and Rove and all those people who are masterminding all this. They're manipulating all these people to send these emails and stuff. And they're basically going to use this thing to hold the 2006 election hostage.
Well, you know, people who listen to this show know that you have been at play in the fields of the Lord in Washington, D.C. in your career.
Yes, sir, I have.
You know, we talked about culture of life, and I think this was actually before you called in. It probably will come to no surprise to you, Jim, to find out that, lo and behold, cultureoflife.org has been launched.
Launched?
Yeah, the website, cultureoflife.org. And its address is, it's either .org or .com. Its address, curiously enough, is somewhere on K Street in Washington, D.C.
How strange.
Doesn't that just beat all?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have to get some Imitrol and then a new screensaver. And that way I won't mess up my computer and put a plastic thing over my keyboard in case the Imitrol will not keep me from losing what I've eaten for dinner. And look at this wondrous piece of hypertext markup language.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful.
You've seen it?
Yeah, the thing I saw was an attack on Rudy Giuliani because he's not culture of life. Because he thinks, you know, he's been pro-homosexual agenda, and he's been pro-abortion.
The hero of New York.
Yeah. The man who, for all intents, I don't care for the man, but the man who, when we needed a president, was president.
You got it. Yeah, I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that a bit. I really can't. You know, I mean, he was right there in the streets with the dust falling down around him, and where was George? Hiding out.
Oh, yeah, down a rabbit hole, down a snake hole.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, have a look at it. It seems coincidental to me. It seems just strangely Jungian and synchronistic that we would, you know, over the last 4 days we start hearing that magic phrase, culture life. Next thing you know, there's the website, and then I see it in a 2-year-old statement from Jeb Bush about Dr. Wolfson's report. You must err on the side of life.
You know, it's amazing how that word of life has been used. I mean, Himmler had something called the Lebensborn, which was called the well of life. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right, yeah.
And, of course, that was used.
And Lebensraum.
Huh?
And Lebensraum.
Yeah, that was used to produce, I don't know how many bastard offspring children, supposedly to make that Nordic race a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there has been such a misuse of that term by these people who are, you know, just almost, I hate to say it, but they're just about as bad as these Nazis were, and not worse.
There may not be much difference, Jim. There may not be much difference
there. I think I've made the comparisons many times to some of the stuff that they're doing is to some of the stuff that happened back in Germany in the 1930s.
Oh, I know, and it was so funny. I was driving home last night, and I hear the Savage Wiener, and he's playing, German Panzer anthem from that movie Battle of the Bulge. Remember where Robert Shaw stands there and
they start stomping their feet.
Yeah. He was playing that and claiming that the Democrats are Nazis. I guess it's all just become a big contest to find out who the Nazis are.
Even he was using that movie from the soundtrack to the Battle of the Bulge, too, and he was saying that the Democrats were like the...
Yeah, because we're ghouls, we're soulless, we won't stand up for the culture of life. Of course, there was no mention of him about the murder of little son Hudson, because he's dishonest, and he won't deal with all the facts, just the ones that suit his thesis.
You know, I just don't see how anybody could be a devotee of this Mr. Savage, because he is such... Every word, every sentence is filled with just misrepresentation, hate, vitriol. How could any...
Don't forget ignorance. Ignorance plays in there really large, too.
Yeah, but how could any thinking Christian person listen to this man...
Well, real Christians don't, Jim. You know, I guess some of these fake Christians get off on it, these people that... solve their moral dilemmas by asking who would Jesus bomb. They get off on it, but no, I mean, there's no real Christians that pay attention to the likes of him. But there's no real Christians listening to Flimball. There's no real Christians listening to O'Reilly or Hannity or any of that scum.
They are exactly that scum. They really are. Yeah. Absolutely. The leavings, the droppings.
Mm-hmm.
Of humanity, and I just wish they would all be flushed down one tremendous well.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed.
And I'd be
crossed.
Glad to hit the lever.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much. We got to hit
the
break.
Good night, sir.
Enjoyed the conversation. Okie dokie. Time for our top of the hour news from ABC, and after that, your phone calls, my commentary. Who knows what might happen? We might all have to dance. You never know. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, for the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. And now they can't go back to shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit CFP.net.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit CFP.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, dealing with rain, perhaps a rumble of thunder overnight, with a low around 44. Nearly a half inch of rainfall anticipated and a quarter of an inch additionally through tomorrow with scattered thunderstorms. High should reach the low 50s on Wednesday, and then look forward to showers ending early Thursday morning. Partial clearing Thursday afternoon as the system moves east, high 49. Then another system brings a chance of rain Friday.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm trying to find a way to get away from this Shivo stuff, but there is stuff out there that's worth knowing. Maybe we can get finished with it. I don't know. I mentioned a little bit about what I heard Michael the Savage Wiener say as I was heading home last night, one of which was that, Democrats are demons, Democrats are ghouls, Democrats have no soul. And he goes on blah, 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 and says, you know, George Bush will forever have my respect because he stood up for the culture of life. See, they all get their talking points. They know the phrases to use. It's the culture of life. The only problem was, like I said, this guy's dishonest. He's got to manipulate the facts in order to appeal to his mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging listener base. And he made no mention of Sun Hudson or Spiro Nicozoulos. The people, one is already dead, one is fighting for his very life thanks to a law that George Bush signed into effect. You know, he's just a stinking hypocrite. They won't tell you the truth. You cannot expect truth from them. What's really worse, though, is the fact that they won't even deal in facts. You know, they deal in that embarrassing believe word. You know, if you can't say I know, it's not very much worth saying. And the same thing apparently applies to the litigation now going on with Mrs. Shivo, her parents, her husband. Because the parents, their lawsuit that was filed in federal court alleged a series of rights violations. Now, stop. I am the constitutional rights guy. I don't think we've come close to enumerating all the rights that there are. But this one really sort of ripped the lid off the tin of sardines. They claimed in their pleadings that Terry Schiavo's religious beliefs were being infringed upon. Pay attention. Yeah, I know. It kind of makes you beetle the eyebrows, doesn't it, John? Her religious beliefs were being infringed upon, and that the removal, listen, the removal of the feeding tube violated her rights, and that she was not provided an independent attorney to represent her interests. Now, we've spent an hour talking about the findings of the guardian ad litem, Jay Wolfson, who is, in fact, the independent attorney who was appointed to represent her interests. And they just sit there and put that in court pleadings and lie. Great big bold-faced lies. You know, he generated a 40-page report. It's out there as a PDF file. You know, Terry's interests were the only interests that Jay Wolfson served. But, you know, those are facts. And to quote the patron vegetable of the Republican Party, facts are stupid things. And then shows up in the arguments from that were made in front of the court. Their lawyer, a man named Gibbs, says, it is a complete violation of her rights and her religious liberty to force her in a position of refusing nutrition. You know, just blatant disregard for the facts in front of a judge. Disregard for the facts. Oh, this is awful. It's a complete violation of her rights and her religious liberty to force her in a position of refusing nutrition. Oh! She's not being forced to refuse anything. She's not refusing anything. She's not refusing nutrition. She's not refusing air. She can't refuse anything. She can't accept anything. She can't even be ambivalent about anything. She doesn't be. That simplest of verbs in the English language, the irregular verb to be. I am, you are, he, she, it, is, we are, they are. She isn't. being is not what she is doing right now. Being tormented, yeah. Being, no. You know, I don't care how many jingos they use. Cut your life. This isn't it. You know, why are these people willing to lie? If their case is so noble and so just and so right, why are they willing to lie? What do they want? They don't want life because Terri Schiavo doesn't have any. Bless her soul. Her life appears to be already gone. What she left behind isn't life. At best, it's a little bit of low-grade electricity. Electricity the way a frog's leg jumps when you put the current to it. And I'm not trying to be gross. They've done EMGs and EEGs on her. And the line that usually is described across the paper, if it was you and me, the line that's described across the paper for Terri Schiavo is flat. And it just goes, boop. Nothing is going on. There's nobody home. And yet these people want to... And you know, that's another thing that's in the Wolfson report. Pay attention to it. You know, hate me, love me. I'm just telling you what's in there. Dr. Wolfson interviewed Mr. and Mrs. Schindler, and they said... He said to them, you know, your daughter didn't have an advance directive. Do you think that she would want to live this way? And they, yeah, she would. But then he asks the real kicker. If she had signed a living will and was in this state, would you then allow her to go to her rest, allow her to go to her long home? No, we wouldn't. We would make her stay alive. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you about the credibility of the Schindlers? They're a heartbroken people. But they're not operating with real and abiding reason. They're in an irrational situation, and they are acting in an irrational fashion. It is to be expected. And we're focusing on one of these tragedies when tens of thousands of them are taking place all over America, even as we speak. And because of what the Republicans have done with one person, they can step in and create havoc and misery with every other one. But they won't. Because every other one, again, isn't happening in Florida, where Jeb Bush, the next anointed one, holds court. And just one last thing. There was a picture of Mr. Schindler. What's it say here? Walking out of the U.S. courthouse in Tampa, Mr. Schindler, along with his daughter and his son-in-law and spiritual advisors, Brother Hillary McGee and Brother Paul O'Donnell. And I've just got a question. It's an old joke that Esquire magazine used to run every year about Richard Nixon. Why is this man smiling? Mr. Schindler is smiling, and the brother that is standing to the right of him in the photograph is grinning like a fox eating feathers out of a wire brush. And does it make you a little curious? It does me. There's a lot wrong in this case. And the media won't help, and God knows the Republicans won't help, because there's no truth in them. You know, it's up to us to sort out the facts. But the bottom line is, put yourself in her shoes. Put yourself in her family's shoes. Do you want the government coming in and messing with your personal family decisions? 87% of America say that the Republican Party is dead wrong on this. And yet, in the House of Representatives vote on late Sunday night, early Monday morning, it was split about half and half between Democrats voting for and against the bill. Do you think my party could figure out which side's the right side to be on and get there? Because being on the Republican side is not being on the side of life. It's being on the side of graft and corruption. That's what happens when you're with Republicans. You're on the side of graft and corruption. Now it is. Sorry. Listen, the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And when we come back, I don't know, depending on who's got what to say, we'll go to the phones or I'll babble some more. You never know. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
If you want to go shopping for the same old stuff, go to Walmart.
But if you're looking for antiques, crafts, and collectibles, there's only one place to go. Beaver Creek, loaded with fascinating items. And you won't believe the buys. Come see the Amish Pantry. Discover the excitement of shopping again at Beaver Creek Antiques, Craft, and Collectibles Mall. Exit 125 Airport Road off I-64. Also, affordable vendor booth space available. Call 254-9835. 254-9835. It's a shopping experience like no other. Beaver Creek Antique, Craft, and Collectibles.
Hey, kid, over here, inside your radio. Name's Ralph. I'm an energy hog. Hey, if you're going to waste energy in your home, I'm going to pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. Deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
We're back and glad to be. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let's move on. Let's go back to some more of the typical brand of Republican filth and corruption. Dateline, Washington, March 14th. Here we go again. Back on the roller coaster. Coffee break's over. Back on your heads. Pentagon auditors found another... I love the way that they found another $108 million in overcharges by Halliburton's KBR subsidiary. You know, Kellogg Burn and Loot. They didn't find it. The $108 million is still gone. That was revealed by Congressman Waxman in a letter to President Bush. The overcharges took place under Kellogg Burn and Loot's multi-billion-dollar oil infrastructure contract, you know, the no-bid one, with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And here's the big surprise. No, it isn't. The company overcharged the military for importing gasoline into Iraq. Well, howdy do. In 2003, according to the report, Pentagon auditors found an additional $61 million in overcharges by Kellogg, Byrne, and Loot in relation to importing fuel into Iraq. So that's 108 plus 61, that's 159 million, something like that. Now, what are we paying for gasoline here? $2.20 a gallon, still holding steady at $2.20. Yeah, I know, $2.19.9. $2.20. Well, back in 2003, in Iraq, where gasoline, before we decided to bomb everything into oblivion, your average Iraqi could go out and fill his tank with gas and, what, pay about a nickel a gallon? Well, Kellogg, Byrne, and Loot charged the Pentagon $2.64 a gallon for gasoline, while competitors... Now, ask yourself a question. In an open government, in a democratic republic, such as we at least think or maybe just hope we still have, the audit reports would be public knowledge, correct? Well, no. Because, see, President Obama, baby, refuses to release nine audit reports that detail Halliburton's ripoff of taxpayer money in the Middle East. Henry Waxman, who's a Democrat in California, and Christopher Shays, who's a Republican from Connecticut, have practically gone on bended knee begging President Roachclip to release the reports. In a letter to President Bush, Waxman said, "Notwithstanding 12 separate follow-up requests from congressional staff, the Defense Department refused to turn over unredacted copies of the audits. You know, redacted, where they block out everything but hello, they take a black marker, and everything but hello and goodbye are blacked out. Restore Iraqi Oil is the program with KBR, and Halliburton and KBR have thus far received $2.5 billion under RIO, the no-bid contract. That's a cost-plus contract, by the way. Do you know what those are? The military pays the company for all costs and then pays a fee of 1% to 7% of those costs on top. And so, therefore, the higher the costs, the higher the fee from the military. Therefore, Halliburton makes sure that its costs stay high, so its profits stay high. Would you do business that way? I mean, if you, in your daily life, would you try to run your home that way? Would you, let's say you need a new roof. Would you have the guy come over and buy the materials and say, well, you know, I'll pay you more if you spend more. Does that sound a little crazy to you? You know, woohoo. That's the way the Bush administration does, didn't it? This is just obscene. Another $108 million in overcharges. What did we talk about the other night? $127 million. Was it $127 million? That they charged you and me to deliver $82,000 worth of liquefied petroleum gas, LP gas. They must have delivered it in little Rolls Royces with tiny little tanks. This is ridiculous. Where does it end? When do we call for an end? Or do you? Are you just happy getting ripped off? I mean, I know, I guess there's a certain segment of the population that says, well, as long as I think that he's a good Christian, man, he can steal whatever he wants to. I guess. I don't know. It astonishes me. You know, and it goes on and on and on. There's that. And apparently the Bush administration is intentionally concealing evidence of Halliburton's overcharges. You know, we talked about that. This has to do with United Nations Security Council Resolution 1483. And that's the program that basically took over the Oil for Food program. Why won't we release details on that? Because it's rife with fraud. I've told you before that the great oil for food controversy was manufactured. It was. This is the proof. We'll talk about it in a little bit after the news. We'll go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The Hampshire County Board of Education has rescinded a policy of muzzling critics of former House Education Chairman Jerry Mezzatesta at board meetings. 2 weeks ago, people intent on demanding that Mezzatesta be fired were stopped by board attorney Norwood Bentley. He told speakers they could not identify district employees by name or job title, then criticize them in an open forum. Many residents complained that infringed on their First Amendment right to free speech. Based on a recommendation from the State Ethics Commission, Board President Brenda Piles said last night the public can comment on employees and their conduct as long as the remarks are not defamatory or slanderous. A Beckley man already in jail for a string of convenience store robberies faces more charges. Sean Moore was charged Monday with second-degree robbery of the one-stop shop on Eisenhower Drive. Police say Moore entered the store January 12th, indicated he had a gun, and took cash from the register. Investigators were able to identify Moore as the alleged robber through evidence collected at the crime scene. One man dead after a house fire in Nicholas County yesterday. Fire broke out in a home on Carpenter Road in Craigsville around 7 o'clock yesterday morning. House was fully engulfed in flames and smoke by the time firefighters arrived. Investigators say the victim was home alone at the time. Neighbors attempted to get inside the house to rescue him, but were unable to do so because of the intense heat and flames. And former Miss West Virginia Allison Williams is suing dozens of internet businesses that attempted to sell pornographic videos they said showed her in sexual acts with a Virginia news crew. For this evening, partly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. That likely late tonight with a low near 45. And then for tomorrow, continued cloudy and mild, but a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow's high near 51. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
There he goes again. George W. just can't seem to tell the truth. Maybe it's some sort of genetic flaw that compels him to fabricate, dissemble, distort, lie. Call it Bush Syndrome, or BS. Those non-existent weapons of mass destruction in Iraq are the most famous instance of BS, but we're seeing it break out again and again this year in his push to privatize Social Security. First was his urgent insistence that the fund faces an imminent fiscal crisis and will soon be bust. This turns out not to be so. Au contraire, the program is remarkably sound. Now comes George with his little dog and pony PR tour across America to convince a dubious public that his scheme to siphon a third of Social Security taxes out of the public program into private Wall Street accounts is sensible. He points to TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan. This program lets federal government workers put some of their paychecks into private investment accounts. Calling TSP a model for his scheme, Bush says it's time to extend the same security and choice and ownership to young Americans through Social Security privatization. Only, it's not the same thing at all. There he goes again. TSP is an add-on to Social Security for federal employees, not a replacement. Indeed, those workers have a three-legged stool for their retirement. They get regular Social Security, a government pension, and TSP. In Bush's Social Security plan, however, the money for workers' private accounts would come out of their guaranteed Social Security benefits. In effect, George would saw off one leg of the retirement stool in the hope that the new Wall Street leg would support a decent retirement. And since most people don't have a third pension, Bush is leaving them with, at best, a one-legged stool.
This is Jim Hightower saying, for an antidote to Bush syndrome, get the straight dope from Campaign for America's Future. 202-955-5665.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a feature. Just a little something from the magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 26 minutes before 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. No, we were talking a little bit about our dear friends at Halliburton earlier. And the Development Fund for Iraq. Remember that. The Development Fund for Iraq. May of 2003, that became the successor to the UN's Oil for Food Program. And the Coalition Provisional Authority, the CPA, remember them, the guys that lost $8.8 billion? Couldn't find it, fell out of their pockets on the sofa, dog ate it, whatever. They were in charge of the Development Fund for Iraq, which took over the Oil for Food Program. And the CPA, the Coalition Provisional Authority, out of the DFI, the Development Fund for Iraq, they gave Kellogg Burn and Loot, long about $1.6 billion from the fund. Was it in cash? Small unmarked bills? We don't know. Now, some congressmen, among them Congressman Henry Waxman, fine fellow from California, said that at the request of Halliburton, the Bush administration was intentionally concealing evidence of the from the International Advisory Monitoring Board. And that's a group that audits Iraq's oil finances. Now, it took a while, but in October 2004, the Pentagon finally sent the IAMB, the International Advisory Monitoring Board, redacted, there's that word again, redacted copies of the audits of Iraq's oil money. Now remember that. Remember what the wingnuts say. The right wing, the mouth breathers, the knuckle draggers. This war wasn't about no oil. This war was about freedom. Because Saddam was a bad man. Shazam! Turns out there was a little bit of hanky panky going on with the money. Little three card money. Because Congressman Waxman, much to the dismay of the Bush administration, misadministration, the Bush junta, the Bush coup, the Bush regime, he found an unredacted audit of something called Task Order 5. And that order required Kellogg Burn and Loot to import gasoline into Iraq like we were talking about. But Mr. Waxman, Mrs. Waxman didn't raise no dummy, as the saying goes. Mr. Waxman laid it side by side, the unredacted audit, with the redacted version that was given to the International Advisory Monitoring Board. They didn't match up. In what may be the understatement of the year, Congressman Waxman said there were, and I quote, striking differences between the two documents. For instance, that $108 million overcharge for gasoline that we were talking about a few minutes ago, that one didn't show up in the redacted copy, but it did in the unredacted one. So what do we say here? Halliburton's keeping two sets of books? For all we know, Halliburton's keeping a dozen sets of books. Now, they're also the redacted copy, the cleaned up copy, the copy for public consumption, didn't show $62 million extra in unreasonable costs for importing gasoline into Iraq. You know, we talked about that a few minutes ago, too. But the unredacted copy did show it. Now, here's what the unredacted copy concludes. Quote, KBR did not demonstrate the prices for Kuwaiti fuel and transportation were fair and reasonable. That was missing from the copy that they sent to the International Advisory Monitoring Board. Okay? These guys are just dishonest. I don't know why I say that with the passion I bring to it. Of course they're dishonest. They're Republicans. It's their job. They're thieves. They're looters. They're rapists. They're murderers. They're killers. They're kitty diddlers. We've proven it. Okay? Here's a little bit more missing language from the unredacted report. Didn't show up in the copy that was given to the International Advisory Monitoring Board. Here's a cutie. KBR was unable to demonstrate the proposal was based on actual costs. You know, that's like saying KBR was unable to demonstrate that this was reality-based. Or, here's a beauty, we consider KBR's estimating system to be inadequate. That's fancy language for KBR's making it up as they go along. Or how about this? KBR was unable to reconcile the proposed costs to its accounting records. Oh, how does that translate into English? KBR is a filthy gang of liars. KBR did not always provide accurate information. KBR lies. KBR has failed to demonstrate adequate competition in its procurement decision. KBR played footsie with its suppliers. KBR did not comply with the stated terms and conditions of its own subcontracted clauses. That translates as KBR could not be trusted in an outhouse with a muzzle on. And then finally, this little morsel. We found significant purchasing system deficiencies. That translates as they were stuffing the money in their pockets with both hands as fast as they could go. Oh, mercy. Another understatement from Congressman Waxman. The extensive redactions in the audit were apparently made at the specific request of Halliburton. Well, do you remember a few years back? Oh, say 1996, 1997, 98. Back then, we had a Republican Congress that was all excited about government corruption. And they had impeachment hearings, and they talked about the flag was falling, and Dan Burton from Indiana went out and shot watermelons, and Henry Hyde cried about the demise of our Republican form of government, and Newt Gingrich said it was a shame, I tell you, that the President of the United States would have a girlfriend. And we spent $70 million investigating the girlfriend, investigating the sex. Remember that? Where are they now? Could we get a... Is there a Republican congressman out there with enough guts to stand up and say, my constituents don't like being ripped off? No, there isn't. What, am I living in fantasy land? Yes. My God, the House Majority Leader, Tom Bugspray DeLay, didn't even have enough moral gumption to stand up and object when the littlest constituent in his district was deliberately killed. That's your Republican Party. That's the party of death. That's the party of destruction and rape and pillaging and murder and bombs dropping indiscriminately on various and sundry members of humanity and little babies in Iraq being torn into their constituent pieces and splattered all over walls. That's your Republican Party. Standing by while we get ripped off because the right people are ripping us off. Oh, Muffy, I don't mind being ripped off if it's the right people. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, am I going to get a beep?
No, no beep, man.
Okay, well, see, that blows my whole thing when I don't get that beep. I don't know what's going to happen. Listen, man, I want to thank Radio Free Beckley and this guy, Bob Kincaid, for that story at the beginning of the show about Terry's husband.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, you know, anybody watching this or this whole thing unfold has to, especially any man, I think, you know, has to wonder, well, you know what, so this guy's been a jerk since day one?
Not hardly.
Right. You know, and I think, well, I want to commend you for telling that story. I think that's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's great that there's, what was the name of the, is that Latin or something? The guy that was her guardian
ad litem.
So what is that?
That's a guardian who is appointed for purposes of litigation.
No, I know, but I mean, is that Latin? Does that have
word? Yeah, I guess more or less.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm glad you told me.
Well, thanks.
what else was it? Oh yeah, I wanted. Remember Michael Moore's movie?
Yeah, that terrible piece.
What was the name of that?
Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Remember the recruiters?
Mm-hmm.
They're out in our malls, man.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are. And
they're after our babies now.
Yeah, they are. I'm real upset about that. I don't like that.
Well, there's a reason they're after our babies, Wayne. I pulled this off of the.
They're running out of babies.
Yeah. Let's see. The Army, dig this. The Army has come up with a way to meet its recruitment goals for the National Guard and Army Reserve, and here's their answer. They've raised the maximum age for enlisting from 34 to 39. What is it next year, 45, and the year after that, 52?
Well, and then after that, they're going to drop down to 15.
Well, I think the plan's already there. I mean, we've talked about it before.
I don't doubt that a bit.
You know, the little license registration card says if you're 16 or older, check here to register for the draft. If you're 16 or older, Wayne.
I know.
It's not required by law until you're 18, but they're asking the 16-year-old to go ahead and sign up and, you know, get in line in the meat grinder.
Well, that could be part of these people's plan. You know, I mean, they're absolutely ruthless. I want to remind people again, and you, that it was shortly after the election I called and said, now we get to see them self-destruct.
Right.
They're good at it, Bob, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Remember,
we're only going into month three here.
Yeah. And they're
month
already
three,
coming,
yeah.
coming apart at the seams.
This thing with this poor woman. I mean, have these people not made total spectacles of themselves?
Yeah, I mean, this is shameful stuff. I mean, this is
shameful.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, it's almost
sickening.
Laughable how disgraceful they are.
And you know what? All over the country, you almost expect to go to. You know what, Henry Clay's grave and Daniel Webster's grave and John C. Calhoun's grave and see little pushes in the dirt where they're trying to get up out of there so they can go and throttle up a congressman.
Exactly.
You know, how...
Absolutely amazing.
You know, how dare these Republican punks dishonor the great names who have served in the House and the Senate? How dare they? Well, you know, again, they got no shame, Wayne.
They have none whatsoever. I mean, they're... It's a form of mental illness, I guess. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, well, it's turning out. Yeah, I did.
I don't know if I went too far with that one.
No, it. These people
they
are
sure
sick.
Don't think right, Bob. I'll tell you that one, buddy.
Well, I mean, look, it's
they
it's,
don't think right.
You know, it's the Sun Hudson thing. That little fellow
yes,
was sick.
Is.
That little fellow was 6 months old, and his mama begged for his life. She begged.
Well, and Bob,
for his
you know
life.
How many thousands of these stories are going on right now in this country that we know nothing about, and we'll never know nothing about.
Right, because there's no political hay to be made out of. I mean,
and this clown in the White House flew back to sign this bill.
On our nickel.
How many years, just a few years earlier, he signed a bill to deny this Hudson?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, people, I'm telling you, they're self-destructing far quicker than I ever thought possible.
Well,
and, you know, people, you know, I've always had, you know, and said this before, I have faith in the people, in the American people. They have definitely been led astray. But, you know, they have to see.
Yeah, but watch.
Their eyes have to be open.
Don't you think that this is this whole cynical Terry Schiavo game, don't you think this is another creation from the evil mind of Karl Rove? I mean, this,
I don't even know. Nah, this is so stupid. I think this is a delay one. I really do.
Well, I don't know, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, how stupid was it to send flyers to West Virginia that said John Kerry's going to get your Bible and make you be gay? That was pretty stupid, too.
Yeah, that was, too, yeah, but I don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean, what does that matter? Who cares?
Well,
Well,
but I think Jim's got a point. I think some of this is geared toward the 06 elections. Now, I've got my own private theory.
It's all geared towards the 06 election, but they have failed. They could not have picked.
They couldn't have picked a dumber issue because all of America disagrees with them. Yeah, you're right.
This is going to go down, I think, as one of the greatest political disasters ever. I mean, my gosh. How many people all around the country are thinking, I don't want them people in my business? Or they're going through the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they've shown that they will get in your business.
If they think there's some kind of political gain out of it.
Yeah, or if there is.
Because they care.
No, because, right.
The
because,
memos speak for themselves.
Yeah. Exactly. This will energize the pro-life base. You know, that's code for this will fire up the idiots. I'm sorry.
I'm not prepared to, to call them all idiots.
No, I'm talking about that little 15%.
There's a great number and.
Yeah, but that little 15%, 20% that will go along with war, nuclear war, famine, starvation, death, damnation, destruction. They will go along with anything. As long as the pro-life, you know, because they're the pro-life base. They're the culture of life people. And they'll believe anything they're told as long as they're told that, you know, we support life. And, yeah, that 15 or 20%, I'm sorry, Wayne.
We just have to change it.
Yeah.
These people are doing an excellent job changing them by themselves.
I hope so.
You know, it's a thing, power corrupts and absolutely...
Corrupts absolutely. And right. there's a memo out I read. Just...
Almost felt like George Bush saying, you know, fool me once.
But there's a memo out from the Republican National Committee that confesses that the Republicans are looking at a strong chance of losing the House in 06.
They're going to lose everything in 06.
Yeah, and
you're gonna lose the Senate too.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm telling you, they're Democrats, progressives, mm-hmm. liberals, all of the above, best friend in the next election is Tom DeLay and George Bush.
Yeah,
I mean, look at they're making absolute fools of them.
Well, you know, I hope
that's exactly what they're doing.
I pray that you're right, because you know, like Jim and I were talking about, the Republicans are already running their nasty little Social Security ads on CNN.
Oh, which ones are those?
The Democrats don't have a plan for Social Security, and it's going bust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a plan. Do you have a plan? You know, let's eliminate the ceiling. Let's let all Americans pay into Social Security. That'll shore it up in a hurry.
I think so, too.
Or let's create a progressive rate-paying schedule where those who have more pay more, you know, the way the income tax is set up.
There was another good idea, Dr. Bill's idea. Let's tax every one of those, you know, stock trades.
Yeah, or ownership of stock, yeah.
Yeah, or something, yeah. Well, there's a sales tax. You're buying...
Yeah, it's good enough for me when I'm buying a gallon of milk for the family. Why can't it be good for Don Blankenship when he's buying 8 million shares of Amalgamated Widget?
Why not, Bob? Sounds only fair to me.
Last I checked, but, you know...
Let's call Don up and ask him what he thinks about that.
I'm guessing.
You think you already know the answer?
I'm pretty sure I know the answer. It's communism! Yeah.
That's what it is. Bolsheviks and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Socialists.
No, it's okay. We've got the Bolsheviks now.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. So, what else can you tell me?
Well, I think you've got something to say. I've been waiting for you to bring it up. I'm not gonna do your crowing for you.
Well, you know.
No, you got.
I don't know what happened to the syndicate, man, but they went down. You know, to whoever that means anything to, you know,
yeah.
I find it all kind of silly. It was a victory for working people.
Absolutely.
It was a victory for every construction worker in West Virginia that can't wait to get on a state prevailing wage job so that they can make some more money and take care of their family better. And anybody that finds any objection to that, I've got a problem with.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to sit down and talk to them about it and try to explain to them and work with them.
But, you know, and let's throw out some credit where credit's due, Wayne, to the county commission.
Yes.
They came around and they understood that
this was
about the quality of life in Raleigh County. This was about Raleigh County working families.
As organized labor, we're willing to work with everybody.
Yeah.
We want good things for West Virginia also.
Right.
I mean, we're not just some greedy little, you know. Well, everybody tells us we're a special interest group, and I guess we are. We're hardworking West Virginians.
We ought to be special. I consider that pretty damn special.
That's the way I feel about it also. But I think instead of becoming adversaries, we should probably sit down and talk about what maybe we have in common and how we can reach common goals
for
the benefit of all.
Well, I think you're right. And to a certain extent, this particular project has an element of the future about it.
Yes, it does.
It speaks to the future of people from all over this region learning the skills and the knowledge and the understanding that they need to carry them into the middle of the 21st century.
Yes, and you know,
and it speaks.
And it also points to leaders.
Yeah,
I mean leaders that have a good idea, and you know. People who have been in the past been and probably maybe in the future will be my adversaries, but, you know, Kiss and Bill Bakers and Father Ackers all deserve great credit. The only problem I had with them is that they're doing an economic development thing, and it seemed to be to their agenda to eliminate the benefits that they're working for from the people that are going to build the structure that's going to you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Does that make any sense?
But, you know, there was a vision involved. I think the idea of the educational mall is a brilliant idea.
It is a brilliant idea, and it'll be great things for Beckley, you know. And
out of curiosity, I am too. Is there a projected ballpark completion date? Any idea?
In operation fall of next year.
Wow.
Not 2005.
No. But
2006.
Like September 06.
Yeah. You know. And bids are April the 11th. You know, bids will be open and red.
Mm-hmm.
And assume, you know, at that time they'll announce the apparent low bidder is what they call it. They'll, you know, look at the bids and make a decision and award the project. And, a lot of people think now that this is a state prevailing wage job,
mm-hmm.
that it's a union job.
Not so.
Not so. Certainly my hopes are it becomes a union job, but there's no guarantee of that.
No, it's...
Anybody can bid this project. The only thing different is now... They all have to pay the same wages to their workers, which levels the playing field.
No, that sounds
you know, so
reasonable to me.
Right. Whichever contractor or
And it kind of guarantees...
Union or non-union who gets this job, their workers benefit.
Well, yeah, and it kind of guarantees you that the thing's not going to be jacklegged.
Yeah, certainly it does.
Nobody's going to try to lowball the, you know.
I don't know that it guarantees that.
No, but
it gives you a great.
It gives you a greater likelihood of having a quality structure.
Well, and you know, it also gives you the. I don't know what the proper word, more the ability to demand.
Yeah.
What you paid for. You know.
Sounds good to me. We got a break though, Wayne.
Okay, man, I hear you.
Hey, thanks.
All right, bye.
Later. Radio Free Beckley. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. More after the break. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
On.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit cfp.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, dealing with rain, perhaps a rumble of thunder overnight with a low around 44. Nearly a half inch of rainfall anticipated and a quarter of an inch additionally through tomorrow with scattered thunderstorms. High should reach the low 50s on Wednesday and then look forward to showers ending early Thursday morning. Partial clearing Thursday afternoon as the system moves east, high 49. Then another system brings a chance of rain Friday.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head On.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. Head On for a Tuesday night. Yeah, this is Tuesday. I'm Bob Kincaid. Your thoughts, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. And there is an open line, so you can jump in if you feel so inclined. Right now, David is with us. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Hello, Bob.
What's up?
Wow, no beef. This is cool. Well, you know, it occurred to me as I sit here and I stream this wonderful show and night after night, well, I don't always get to hear night after night, but most nights, every night that I listen, I hear you bring such incredible information to the mic, and you make sure all of us know chapter and verse on how ugly and thieving and despicable the Republicans are. And it makes me think back to months and months ago, and I think I said it among other callers, we got to make sure we're not just preaching to the choir.
Right.
We've got to make sure we reach out. And as a little cautionary tale, I'm reminded that I hear you mention from time to time, this Saturday in a certain township, there will be a group and it's going to create awareness about some topic.
Right.
Protesting.
Right.
It's an American institution, has been for 300 years or so.
Yeah, thereabouts.
And my cautionary tale is I lived in the state of Oregon starting in 1978, and Oregon at that time was doing well financially. It was a very liberal state. The schools were superb. Everybody thought they'd won it. Everybody thought they had it. Everybody thought all the things that made that state wonderful in terms of lifestyle and quality of life. They thought it was all hardwired, riveted, carved in stone, and all the rest of it. And so there was the protest began to take on a certain hue and color. And they suddenly, you know, they weren't protests. They were smile-ins. they all stood around and they hugged each other, and you know, they got there and paid for Volvos that had been recently waxed, as opposed to Volvos with a fender missing and a Dick Nixon before he dicks you sticker on them. They got so dead-gum polite that the thieving, backstabbing, artery-slashing Republicans have ruined the state of Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, you're
taken overnight. They're racing. They're trying their best to out Mississippi when it comes to bad schools, horrible tax rate, I mean, foolishly low taxes. People are losing things they've had out there for two generations. Good things.
Yeah. Like
the Republicans out there are inviting the what was that great, something connecting Nazism and Bush earlier? There was a wonderful one that somebody threw out, but I can always remember Bushistas. There are those in Oregon that are inviting those guys to come out there and overturn the Oregon Death with Dignity statute that's been on the books. I voted for that when I lived there.
Yeah.
And they don't know why they're being assaulted. One of the reasons they've been assaulted is protest degenerated into polite, like-minded folks that created little clubs where they knew everybody, and they were afraid to make any noise.
Well, you know,
they wouldn't show up at protests with the idea that they might leave in the wagon for 6 or 8 hours. They probably had a tennis lesson scheduled right after it.
Yeah, and brought some brie with them. I'll be honest with you. I got a little bit of that flavor this past Saturday. I mean, certainly.
Oh no, that's.
No. Well, no. I say that I'm not trying to be mean to these people. I respect them, but it was, you know, it was all us. I mean, everybody who was there already understood that the war is immoral, the war is murder, the war is wrong.
Well, they've got to face.
And we were tucked away, in this little park, and we all looked at each other and said, you know, and stuff was red, and we looked at each other and kind of scowled and said, you know, that sucks. And then we broke up and went home. I mean, could we not have gone out, you know, as a group singing "We Shall Overcome" or, you know, "Go Down Moses" or, you know what I'm saying?
This land is their land. Why not a nice paraphrase? This land is the Republicans' land, but you know, the rest of us would like a little some of it back.
Yeah, this land is war land.
Exactly. Seems like maybe you could have left the area they designated for you and just, you know, kicked up a little dirt. Made a little noise, because protest is to create awareness.
Yeah.
Awareness is to create thought.
Well, I swore if they sang Kumbaya, I was out of there.
they probably had some speaker tacked on that they didn't care to listen to, or they were going to do Kumbaya later. It's just that somebody ran long.
Well, I'm not trying to be mean, but yeah, I can identify what you're talking about. I see it happening.
I've watched the state of Oregon lose so much of what they had put together. There, you know, so many states in the South are on the rise when it comes to educational items. They're in a steep, ugly descent. And now then, all they can do is swing harder and harder to the right. And it's because people are lazy and they're not willing to make a little mess, you know?
Well, yeah, and it bears remembering, David, if you apply the pendulum analogy, the pendulum never swings a little bit to the right and then goes all the way back to the left. It has to go all the way hard right. So if they've done as you say in Oregon, it's only going to go further right before it starts getting well. I think, as Wayne notes, we're seeing it in the large picture in this country, because they are, you know, the Bolsheviks are coming apart at the seams. The wheels are coming off in spectacular fashion. This is one of those end over end NASCAR wrecks, what the Republican Congress and the Republican White House and the Republican courts have done to this country.
And so many Americans won't see it for what it is, that very thing. It's an end-over-end car crash, except that collectively, Bob, we're all in the car with them.
That's
all
the problem.
All we've got to do to get out is to vote sensibly. And I agree with Jim Hightower. We don't need a third party. What this country really needs is a second party.
Bingo. Yeah,
and if we turn, Democrats, us, you and I, We can't ameliorate the Democratic Party into being even more toward the right. We've got to be the party we're supposed to be. We've got to get on our hind legs and act like Democrats.
Well, yeah, and where, and who in heaven's name designated the Republican Party as the party of family values when it's not even made up of families? It's made up of corporations.
They did it. They took our language away from us. We've got to take so many things
but
back.
But wait, and we let them.
We let them. That's hence the cautionary tale, Bob.
Yeah.
If we're not making noise, and if we're not talking to people that disagree with us, even if it starts out with a yelling, screaming argument, we've got to address those that are wrong. We can't just expect it to come to them. It's not going to come to some of your callers without it constantly being brought to them and pushed at them.
Well, in some cases,
verbal friction, so be it.
Yeah, well, in some cases, you know, I've got a lot of wing nuts out there that listen and don't have the guts to hold up their position. But you know what, David? I don't know what it's doing where you are, but I think some of this reality is going to come to them in the form of $3 a gallon gasoline.
It's going to come as $3 a gallon gasoline. It's going to come when some 32-year-old that votes for some smiling 38-year-old Republican woman who has a heart of ice, you know, when that aunt of theirs has no Medicaid and Medicare to fall back on, they're going to have to admit that they voted for that. That's the heart. That's when the pendulum bounces off the wall and jumps off the end of the rope.
Well, I tend to believe or agree with your entire analysis. You know, I mentioned the $3 a gallon gas. What's that going to do to a gallon of milk?
Everything.
What's it going to do What's it going to do to a pound of hamburger?
We are tremendously, unnecessarily, disgustingly dependent on petrochemicals all up and down the line, and we refuse to do anything else about it.
Well, do you think there is enough of a segment of normal people who are merely led astray, David, that if you know, when we start seeing it happen to the milk prices and the hamburger and you know, the package of weenies and a loaf of bread, when we start seeing that, are they going to be able to look up and say, well, I think I know why this happened and I made a mistake and I'll not make that mistake again?
There are already a few that are acknowledging it. You know, those hybrid cars that Toyota can't build fast enough that Ford doesn't know exist.
Yeah,
that's beginning to crash in on people. And the absolute rage among the 20-somethings with the good jobs is to forget about the 1 acre or the half-acre yard and the McMansion an hour away from where they work. It's to move back into the cities and have a really nice 1,400-square-foot townhouse and live comfortably in a reasonably sized home so you can walk back and forth to work and go to 25 restaurants within a 10-minute walk. That lifestyle is coming back, and that plays into the hands of a little bit less energy dependence and a little bit more sensible approach to life as opposed to consumption, greed, and more consumption.
Yeah, $50,000 SUV. You mentioned the McMansion. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Since when did a Lincoln Navigator become a truck? I drive a truck. I can put 1,000 pounds of, you know, logs in the back of mine straight down into it. That's a truck.
Yeah, a couple of front end loader scoops of gravel.
Exactly.
Would you drop one of those into a Cadillac? Would you drop that into a Cadillac pickup truck?
Of course not. You know, the guy with the backhoe might put some scratches in those chrome bling bling wheels that, you know, rotate when the truck's not moving.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to the local lumber yard and letting them put, you know, 10 or 15 sheets of wall board back there with a forklift. I'm not going to get one.
I could just imagine Bubba and Leroy watching that one drive up. Hey, Leroy, flip you to see who gets to drop the drywall in it.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, Bob. It looks like break time for me.
Yeah, it is. Let's go do that. And thanks for the fun and thanks for the cautionary tale, David.
Yeah, and when in doubt, you know, find some wing nut and yell at
them. It's worked so far. All right, later.
See ya.
Bye now. It is, it'll be time for our break when John Kepi gets back. He's a multi-talented, multi-faceted man on a mission here. So until then, something that, let's do take a break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Bickley's Raleigh County Armory. See up to 100 area men and women slug it out for thousands in prize money, Tough Man jackets, and the title Toughest Man and Toughest Woman. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just $12 for general admission. Reserved at VIP ringside seats also available. Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or at any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger. Charge by phone at 304-342-5757. For additional information or to sign up, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd at Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Tough it out.
Celebrate the risen Lord this Easter Sunday, March 27th at the First Baptist Church of Beckley. Enjoy a free concert featuring Kim and Brian Tabor at the 10:45 a.m. service. The public is welcome and invited to attend. Easter Sunday, March 27th at the First Baptist Church of Beckley.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
WWNR, Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
You know, I hear that public service announcement for the UNCF, and it's one of the most noblest, oh dear God, we're taking the grammar out and stomping on it tonight, aren't we? It's one of the most noble philanthropic organizations that there is in this country. But honest to God, it'll never be the same, because I can never hear that motto, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. You know, and how true that is. But I can never hear that without hearing Dan Quayle. You remember Dan Quayle? Remember when we thought he was the idiot? Remember when we thought he was the doofus? And we made the jokes about being a heartbeat away from the presidency, and we all prayed every night for George Bush the first to survive. And do you remember when Dan Quayle addressed the UNCF or some group, and he said, "Well, it's like your motto. What is it? A mind is it's a terrible." It's a terrible thing to have a mind and lose it. Remember when Dan Quayle said that? Oh, my God. And we thought he was the dumb one. You know, 8 short years later, I've got, you know, 8 short years later, we trade in. It's a terrible thing to have a mind and lose it. And I always wished I had studied my Latin better for when I went to Latin America. That was all replaced. And it was just outclassed. I mean, it was the difference between the Wright brothers' little tremulous aircraft flying 10 feet above the sands at Kitty Hawk, getting blown away by an F-15 roaring by at Mach 2.5. You know, the comparison and the stupidity between Dan Quayle and George W. Bush. We traded in. It's a terrible thing to have a mind and lose it for. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, won't get fooled again. And we traded it in for, I am convinced that the humans and fish can live together in peace. And we traded it in for, oh, Lord, I know how hard it is to put food on your family. It goes on. We traded in Dan Quayle for commonsensical. We traded in Dan Quayle for strategery. We traded in Dan Quayle. Oh. Oh. We traded in a court jester for a village idiot. Oh, sometimes it hurts. But meanwhile, that was just ancillary. Emphasis on celery. I like celery with cream cheese. Oh, boy. We talked a little bit ago about the Halliburton story and about the beauty of redaction and how if you turn in a redacted copy, you're okay until somebody finds the unredacted one that says things like, we consider KBR's estimating system to be inadequate. They're ripoff artists. Yeah. Well, in that same light, this news story from Inside Our Beautiful State. We've talked a lot about this business of taking your rights to sue insurance companies away from you for the low came price of $8 a month. Here's your $8, so sue me. Ah, you can't! Sucker! You know, that thing's moving to the floor of the Senate for a vote. Now, there's a lawsuit going on in Kanawha County, and that circuit judge, a fellow named Paul Zacabe, wants the insurance commission to explain why it has turned in a, there's that word again, redacted version of its dealings on this insurance bill. Now, are you civic-minded? Do you care what goes on in your government? Does it, do you feel like open government is a good thing, or do you feel like there are just some things that the government needs to keep secrets from us? You know, like the Men in Black and all the aliens underneath. You're right. There's a lawyer in Charleston named John Skaggs, and he got these documents under the Freedom of Information Act. And there are blacked out names and email addresses for more than 600 pages of insurance commission emails and memos. And the names, what they were part of a study the insurance commission has used to conclude that third-party bad faith lawsuits should be stamped out. No. The names are part of a study that the insurance industry has cooked up to take away your rights. Okay? And yes, they've promised to lower insurance premiums by $50 million. And yes, it turns out to be about $8 a month. Woohoo! Don't buy it all. Don't spend it all at the same gas station. They actually think you're dumb enough to trade away your constitutional rights for $8 a month for 1 year. 1 year, assuming you don't get a parking ticket, a traffic ticket, no car wrecks. They'll give you $8 a month break for 1 year if you behave yourselves. Do you get tired of being treated like children? Now, honey, you behave yourself or we'll take away the $8 a month. So, you know, let's send a, you know, do what, you know, say a prayer, send a little positive energy, sit on the floor, stare at your navel, hum, sing kumbaya, whatever you do. Do it for this case. Hope that the Circuit Judge Paul Zacabe compels the insurance industry to deal with the redactions where they blacked out the secret stuff, where they blacked out the stuff that might let you know that this is the biggest scam in West Virginia in a long time. I'm fresh out of comparisons. The Brinks job. This is the West Virginia version of the Brinks job, okay? This is a great big honking ripoff. You know, the insurance commission won't even tell who spoke to the authors of the study or what kind of information they provided. They said, that's trade secrets. Whoa. And we're not entitled to know about that, huh? You're going to take away our constitutional right, but we're not entitled to know how it was you figured out that you needed to take it away from us. Whew. That's like magic. Much more of that government, much more of that kind of government, and we'll be in real trouble. Nervous. You should be too. Don't know if you are. If you are, if you aren't. Yeah, either way, we got to take a break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Ed On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Former Miss West Virginia Allison Williams is suing dozens of internet businesses that tried to sell pornographic videos they claimed showed her in sexual acts with a Virginia news crew. Williams filed her lawsuit in U.S. District Court Wheeling last week against 59 defendants in the U.S., Australia, the Netherlands, Belgium, Cayman Islands, Canada, and South Africa. The businesses allegedly took part in distributing the videos. Williams is seeking unspecified damages and injunctive relief. A Kanawha County judge wants the State Insurance Commission to explain why it has refused to name some of the people it consulted while putting together a study on third-party lawsuits for state lawmakers. Circuit Judge Paul Zacabe yesterday in Charleston gave the commission until Thursday to justify its decision that would black out names and email addresses from more than 600 pages of agency email and memos. Coal industry officials and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are fighting a legal battle against a federal judge's ruling that blocked the streamlined permitting of new mountaintop removal coal mines. Both parties filed briefs last Friday with the Richmond, Virginia-based 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. They're asking that U.S. District Judge Joseph R. Goodwin's ruling be overturned. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Chance of rain, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms late tonight. With a low near 43 for tomorrow, a chance of showers. Thunderstorms are possible again in the afternoon tomorrow. Tomorrow's high near 51. Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mainly before midnight, low 36. And for Thursday, a chance of showers early in the morning, then partly cloudy, with the Thursday's high near 51. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Time to repot your plants. Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of Miracle-Gro Moisture Control Potting Mix, the potting mix that takes the guesswork out of watering. If you're a gardener like me, I bet you've been counting the days until it's warm enough to get outside and start digging. While it still may be too cold in some parts of the country to work the soil, you can still get your hands into the dirt. How, you may be asking? Well, by repotting your houseplants. In fact, Sunday, April 3rd, is National Repot Your Plant Day. Your plants start their yearly growth cycle in the spring, so it's a good time to give those plants a dose of fresh, new soil and more room for their roots to spread out. By repotting your plants, you're keeping them happy and healthy. Plus, it's easy to do. First, select a container that is one size larger than the current pot, so roots have room to grow. Don't get one that's too big, though, because you might be tempted to overwater. Then fill the new pot one-third full with fresh potting mix. Remove the plant from the old pot and gently shake off the old potting mix. Trim off, loosen the root ball, put the plant into the new pot, and fill in with more potting mix. Now, give it a nice drink of water. Check plant food labels for directions before starting a regular feeding schedule. Your plants will thank you, and you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you got them off to a great start this season. Over and underwatering. Even the greenest thumbs do it, but not with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control Potting Mix. It keeps plants perfectly watered by absorbing a third more water than ordinary soil and releasing it at just the right rate. I'm Peter Strauss, asking you to join me again for another edition of Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
We're back. 24 minutes and change before 10 o'clock. Suddenly it's cold outside. I thought that was supposed to be a warm front blowing up through here, but it's kind of cold and unpleasant. But stay inside by your radio. That's the remedy. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967, and there's a little bit of time to get your ideas in. And lo and behold, there it was in the bottom of the hour news, the story about the redacted insurance data again. Are you inclined to try to do anything about this, or are you just going to sit idly by and not even so much as pick up the phone and call your senators and tell them that you don't much appreciate being abused by the insurance industry? Can we at least go? I mean, I don't know. We might not lose this fight, but we will if we don't make any noise. If you're going to go down screaming, go down fighting, go down punching. You know, it's remember the old for those of you who are close to my age or a little bit somewhere around the great old. Poster from the late 70s the last great act of defiance. A little critter standing there on the desert floor with his middle finger outstretched at this eagle screaming down to snatch him up. That. You know, the last great act of defiance. Defy these people. Well, what you won't defend, you will not have to defend for very much longer. And, you know, I get a little funny about constitutional rights. You know, those are supposedly inalienable. And we've got some people who are trying to alien. Or alienate. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
It's your research assistant.
What's happening?
I tell you what, we've exchanged some emails over this thing.
Yes, we have.
I was just talking about the Shivo guys. I was just looking at the 40-page report.
Isn't that it, Andy?
That was given over to Senor Jebby down there in Cuba land. And there's a part here on page 26. Justice Scalia has admonished us to rely upon and accept the role of state lawmakers and laws to address issues of this very nature. Through his point of reference was Missouri law relative to an evidentiary standard. His message remains it is up to states to establish rules and guidelines in these matters. And they're citing a case, Cruzon...
Nancy Cruzon, yes.
Versus director. And part of this huge quote from that case, this is a very, very interesting sentence. It is up to the citizens of Missouri to decide, through their elected representatives, now get this part, whether that wish will be honored.
Wow. Yeah, that's you said interesting?
It's quite impossible, and then in quotes, because the Constitution says nothing about the matter. end quote, that those citizens will reside upon a line less lawful than the one we would choose, and it is unlikely, end quotes, because we know no more about life and death than they do, end quote, that they will decide upon a line less reasonable. And end quotes, emphasis added. But then it goes back into the report. And while he might not agree with a particular state's method for addressing a matter, he not only defers to the states, but further admonishes us to avoid the, I'm tired so I can't hardly pronounce this, the politicalization of legislation in these matters.
Well, if you were to read that and compare that to what's going on right now, and that's an opinion by Scalia, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like he's saying, mind your own business.
And next up, it quotes Scalia again. I am concerned from the terror of today's opinions that we are poised to confuse that enterprise as successfully as we confuse the enterprise of legislating concerning abortion, requiring it to be conducted against a background of federal constitutional imperatives that are unknown because they are being newly crafted from term to term. That would be a great misfortune.
That's like Stephen King writes law.
Constitutional imperatives are unknown.
Well,
because they range from term to term.
Well, apparently he'd been having cocktails with Donald Rumsfeld, you know, the known knowns and unknown knowns and the unknown knowns and the garden gnomes and that bunch.
Okay. Speaking with the majority in Cruzan, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Cruzan.
Justice Stevens further admonishes us to accept state legislations in matters of death and dying. He writes, choices about death touch the core of liberty. Not much may be said with confidence about death unless it is said from faith. And that alone is reason enough to protect the freedom to confirm choices about death to individual conscience. Our salvation is an equal protection clause which requires the democratic majority to accept for themselves and their loved ones what they impose on you and me. This court need not and has no authority to inject itself into every field of human activity, where rationality and oppression may theoretically occur, and if it tries to do so, it will destroy itself.
Sounds to me like if this goes up to the Supreme Court, it's going to have a hard time. The Schindlers are going to have a hard time. And you know what? It also points out the hypocrisy. I mean, that case was decided what in the late 80s, 85?
That was 1990.
Oh, was okay. Nancy, okay. Cruz on 1990. As a consequence of that, they're saying, you know, leave it up to the states.
Yeah.
And that's what I take
exactly
from it.
Exactly what they're saying.
And in the particular case of Teresa Schiavo, she's had her case reviewed by how many judges? 19?
And let's just take it up to Washington and get old Bonghead on a plane to come and sign it. You know, I've taken that line from you. Yes, I have.
Yes, you have.
This is really going to please you now. Okay, listen to this. This is from page 28. And even if we are not happy with the result in a case or the application and interpretation of the law, we are reminded by Chief Justice Rehnquist, writing for the court, that general rules of law, indeed, even the law itself, is neither flawless nor faultless.
Oh, that's...
That's just icing on the cake.
Well, do you see, I mean, do you begin to, I think, Chris, there is a reason that this document has not been trotted out in front of the public.
Well, I have been watching the news again. I'm back on the wagon, I tell you. And I haven't heard anybody quoting this. This glorious 40-page report.
And it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very interesting reading. I would say this is the best reading since the Warren report. I'm telling you. The 9/11 report has nothing on this.
But, you know, suddenly Michael Schiavo's not quite the villain he's been painted out to be, is he?
Oh, my goodness. If anybody wants to go to my blog, thematzareport.blogspot.com, I have got a bunch of quotes from... earlier in this report that goes to show, prove without a doubt, this family, her parents, the Schindlers, are just low-down dirty scum. When after, what was it, 10 years?
Yeah.
Or however long it was, they encourage Michael to date.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, you need to go out and date. Right after that, they got him in the court, and they said, look what he's doing. He doesn't care. He just wants the money from the case, the $1 million from the case. At that point, there were $600,000 left.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already said in court that he didn't want the money. He just didn't want his wife to suffer. And in another court case, you know, there's been so many,
mm-hmm.
he said that his wife had told him, Teresa had told him, she did not want to be in that state. She did not want to wind up like that. They would not include that in the trial because they said it was hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
In another trial, his brother-in-law and sister-in-law, I do believe,
mm-hmm.
they said that she had said that to them, and they did include it, even though it was hearsay. It's obvious they didn't really care that much about her. They wanted the money.
And now they say there's maybe $40,000 left, and they still want that.
Yeah. Well, what if Medicaid finds out there's $40,000 left?
Well, it's probably it's probably eaten up in a. I mean, it's squirreled away in a trust or something, but the trust has been drawn down. Medicaid wouldn't be paying right now if the drawdown was not sufficient.
True.
So
maybe Bo Grist will get it. I noticed online that a lady got arrested trying to give her water.
She would choke to death on it.
She sure would. She surely would. I'll tell you, this is a page turner. I'm telling you what.
Where did you find it?
I found it on through a link through the governor's Jeb Bush's website.
Okay.
It's a PDF file. It's 40. Well, it's actually, you get 39 pages. You don't get the first page, I guess, which is a cover letter.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, I've got the link on my blog if somebody wants to go to there.
Okay.
I tell you what.
The Mansell Report.
TheMansellReport.blogspot.com.
Okay, great.
I
appreciate you finding it because you know it opened my eyes, Chris, to see how that these filthy Republicans will manipulate facts into fiction.
It just goes to show you my favorite channel
and how the media can't be trusted.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you always say, well. When Bill Clinton was in office, it was CNN was called the Communist News Network. That's what a lot of conservatives call it.
Or the Clinton News Network.
Or the Clinton
News
Network. But I tell you, my favorite channel on television, without a doubt, is C-SPAN.
Oh, yeah.
You get these politicians up there, Republican and Democrat and one independent, up there making their talks to the bunch of empty seats. And once they say it, they've said it. There's no spin. There's no nothing. You said it.
Yeah. And
you live and die by your own words.
Right.
And something like this, here it is. Here's a report. Here's what is said. Here's what Governor Bush has read, and anybody that's wanted to go looking for it has read it.
Yeah. When we can refer to Governor Bush as the Anointed One.
Oh, he's involved in the case. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is all about his presidential aspirations, Chris.
Absolutely, absolutely, without a doubt. Yep, without a doubt.
I remember the Republican con back in September when they wouldn't allow the networks to show the little knot of weirdos with their signs that said Jeb in 08.
Yeah. One more quote I want to mention before my time runs out.
Yeah.
From page 13. Mr. Pierce, P-E-A-R-S-E, was the guardian of Teresa at the time, said, Mr. Pierce's investigation concluded that the statements of Ms. Schindler, Teresa's mother, indicated that Teresa displayed special responses mostly to her, but that these were not observed or documented. These people have been lying all along.
Mm-hmm. It's just pitiful. And to use someone in Terry Schiavo's position to advance that agenda is just disgusting. And, you know,
you remember the movie, what was it, Amos and something, where Samuel Jackson and had bought a house on an island and Nicolas Cage was paid to break into it?
Mm.
It wasn't Amos and Andy. Amos and Andrew.
Amos and Andrew, okay, I know, yeah.
And it was bullcrap from the beginning, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And then all the religious folks got there, and they knew what was going on, but they kept drawing it out and drawing it out and drawing it out. This has just spiraled out of control.
Well, it has, and with any luck at all, it'll blow up in the faces of the Republican Party like an M80 with a short fuse.
I don't know. It seems to be that the Republican Party, if you do something wrong,
you get a pass. You get a pass. You get promoted. Yeah. Hey, Chris, we got to run along. Thanks, man.
Bob, take care.
Thanks. And Mel. Hey, Mel, I didn't want to keep you waiting too long. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing tonight, Bob?
Doing all right.
I reckon Chris should have read there on the bottom of page 40. It said, stay out of family's business unless it's for political gain.
Yeah.
He didn't read the fine print there. I know the time, you don't have a lot of time here. I just wanted to commend Wayne on the job he done there with the getting that prevailing wage. And, I thank the Lord we got men like that that really cares about working families. And, I know Wayne personally. I think that, that he don't want a fine job. And like I said, I thank the Lord that we still got people that care about people and their families.
Well, see, every night we run that or we use that slogan, if you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. I think this proves it.
He is. Definitely. And
there's no guarantee, Mel, that this is going to be a union job or a non-union job. The only guarantee here is that the people who build this building for our friends, our neighbors, our children to go to school in, is that they will earn a living wage doing it.
Well, like I said, I'm thankful for people like him, and that we got people that will stand up for families and understand what it takes now to live, and it's getting worse all the time. And I liked his joke the other night about the pups.
Yeah.
finally waking up.
Yeah.
Open their eyes, but I'm going to give him one back here real quick.
Go right ahead.
There's a Catholic priest, an Indian monk, and a Republican traveling together.
Okay.
They get real tired, so they're looking for a place to stay, and they stop this farmhouse. This isn't one of them farms.
Okay.
But,
yeah, you know the rules. I trust you.
Right. Yeah, well. He says, I got room for two of you guys, but one of you going to have to sleep in the barn. So the Catholic priest says, well, I'll go ahead and sleep in the barn. So about an hour later, somebody knocks on the door. Farmer goes out. He says, what's wrong? He said, man, that cow stinks. I can't stay out there. So then the Indian monk, he goes out there, and he's about an hour later, knock on the door. Open the door, that Indian monk said, man, that pig is stinking. I can't stay out there. So the Republican goes out there. About an hour later, knock on the door. Farmer opens the door. There the cow and the pig is. Said, man, I can't stay out there with that stinking Republican. And that's about how low they've got, I'm telling you. Anybody that would use this girl's condition, and I know, people's got mixed emotions about it. It's a terrible situation either way, and either way you feel. But, you're talking about a low-down snake.
Yeah.
Anyone, remember old Newt Gingrich and his contract with America? And I agree with old Wayne on that, too, You give them enough rope, they'll hang yourself, and they're doing it pretty quick. Even with, like Chris and you were talking about, that the way Republicans have been so willing to just turn their head and look away, I'm telling you, I'm out and about and doing a little work myself, and I'm seeing those Republicans are falling like flies. I'm seeing people every day that were strong Republicans, start to doubt that they done the right thing, and I'm thankful for that. If they can just remember, they just don't remember too long.
Yeah. Well, and there's always another Karl Rove plot or ploy out there, and I'm convinced that this culture of life thing, Mel, is precisely that. because you don't talk about a culture of life if you're the president when you sign the kind of bills that killed little son Hudson.
You know what? Like I've said, and I'm not a great communicator, but I've said this. You know, I can understand the politicians being so crooked, like this deal you're talking about with the insurance commissioner that I've been trying to get people to call down there. You know, now they're showing a TV ad with some lady on there telling you to call the governor and telling him you want to get shafted, what it amounts to. And, you can't even trust your own. These people are supposed to be Democrats down there. This insurance commissioner is absolutely,
Well, what's she so afraid of that she's got to hide this stuff from the people of West Virginia, Mel?
Well, you know what? She's kind of taking her cues from our federal government. And like I was getting ready to say, yeah, I understand the politicians are going to be crooks. But, my Lord, when is the people going to demand the truth? You know, and some ethics, you know. You seen down there that the legislature gave the ethics committee some money and then voted the other day to take the money, afraid they'd do their job, and put it in a general fund. I don't know if you seen that or not.
Yeah, I did. That was beautiful.
I mean, I just can't believe. I need to get that lawyer's name if I can.
That's John Skaggs. And he's in Charleston.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to call that gentleman and give him praise and do whatever I can do and thank. Like I said, like you say, if it's nothing to say in a prayer or what, but someone is going to. You know, I've said this myself that that there needs to be a lawsuit that this woman down there is absolutely. She's supposed to be representing us. And the insurance companies is where they get their money for this insurance commission to function. But my Lord, you talking about having a fox in a chicken house.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and let's not forget, I mean, this thing's still in the Senate, Mel. You know, it's not just your senators. OK, there are other senators that are deserving of praise and deserving of encouragement. Senator Dan Foster down in Kanawha County needs to be reminded that this insurance nightmare is going to create more nightmares for people trying to pay their medical bills. He's a doctor. He'll understand that. We need to say it to John Blair Hunter in Monongalia County. And
I got an email back from him, and he told me that he voted against that.
Well, he's an awfully good man.
Well, he cared enough to email me back, and I appreciated that. Some of the ones right here wouldn't even get back with me. A couple of them did.
Well, we've got to support the people that are supporting us. I think that's incredibly important.
I agree with you 200% that, if they're down there working hard, my Lord, let them know that we know it.
Yeah.
And this guy, like I said, I'll be trying to look him up or talk to him as early as tomorrow, and praise him for, I've said it 2-3 years ago, that the insurance commissioner needs sued, is what she needs, and if we still got that right, I don't know,
Well, that's what he's doing.
Yeah, well, thank the Lord. You think that'll make the Beckley paper tomorrow, Bob?
Was it not in today's? I don't guess I saw it. Maybe not. I mean, it was all over the Charleston paper.
Huh.
Maybe it's something, you get a lot of selective journalism, here in Beckley, Mel. The Beckley paper, it's a little conservative for my taste.
Yeah, somebody told me Mr. Martin had left up there.
That was a rumor I heard, and I haven't heard any more, information to flesh that out.
That gentleman made a comment that, and I told him, looking him eye to eye, I told him, I said, you made a comment one time that I'll, as long as I've got life left in me and, right up to the time we're throwing dirt in my face, I'll never forget. And he said, what's that? And I said, you said that the people was using the court system to redistribute the wealth. And I said, you know what? No, I'd rather 1% own 90% of the wealth. I said, I don't care what people use to redistribute it. I'd like to see it redistributed. And he told me, I don't think I wrote that. And I said, well, yes, sir.
You kind of did.
Your name was on it. But, yeah, somebody told me that he left.
I'll be darned. Well, I don't know if that'll be good or bad. I got a feeling we'll just get a little bit more conservative out of this paper.
Well, I don't know. I just kind of wondered if maybe they lost some of their readers. They're getting so stinking Republican. But, Bob, I know it's about that time.
Yeah, it
I'll
is.
Let you go, but
all right.
I thank you. I didn't hear about this, Skaggs, and that'll make me sleep a little bit better.
No,
we got somebody with the gonads to go down there and try to,
stand up.
Like a little Watergate down there.
Right, exactly. Hey, Mel, we do have to go, though. Thanks so much.